Why don't you open your Bibles to the book of Colossians? The book of Colossians. Another passage of scripture that, if obeyed and practiced, could change your life. It's that time of year, isn't it? Fall. When fall goes from cool to cold. And what do we start doing with the furnaces? Well, depends on how cheap you are. Determines what you do next, right? Now, you all know that in the winter, you could crank that thing up to where you'd be sitting around in your shorts. But that's expensive. You're going to pay with your money if you do that. Have you ever tried building a campfire? Read the book, the short story by Jack London, to build a fire. It's really depressing, actually. But you know, starting a fire, you have to have three conditions. Okay, first of all, you got to have ignition, something to start the fire. A spark, a lighter, matches, something. Then you got to have fuel, something to burn. Okay, not everything's burnable. And then number three, you got to have oxygen. Without oxygen, fire can't breathe, it dies. Right? And it sounds really easy, especially when in your house, all you got to do is walk over and turn up the thermostat. But especially when you think about house fires and forest fires, I mean, this really does sound easy. And then you try to start a campfire. All of a sudden, this is not so easy, all right? Now, instead of paying with your money, cranking up the thermostat, with the campfire, you pay with your time. Sometimes a whole lot of it, just to coax that thing into a flame, okay? But truth is, even in the coldest conditions, when all three of those elements are met, you can have a fire to warm things up. Well, many a time, even in a born-again believer's heart, conditions can get real cold. They absolutely can. And if you find yourself nursing a cold heart, bear in mind, God has provided the conditions you need to warm it up, even to crank it up. But just like any fire, it's going to cost you. No person can truly have a warm heart burning for the Lord Jesus Christ unless that person knows Jesus Christ. You must know Christ as your Savior. And there are unbelievers who are very kind, absolutely, and who are very friendly and warm, and that's true. But no works of man, I mean no works of man, will reach God. Absolutely none. Only Jesus Christ can reach man. And he did so on the cross. If you put your trust in that, well, now you have to your access all you need to live a warm heart. Let's take a look at this. I want you to see what a warm heart looks like in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, elect is a reference to those who have trusted Christ, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. He just describes someone with a warm heart. Okay? You don't believe that only Christians can truly live this way consistently? I present to you Washington, D.C. Turn on the news. Think about how different politics would be if this was a picture of your typical politician. It'd be a whole lot different out there, wouldn't it? Right? Without Jesus Christ, you can't live that way. But with Jesus Christ, you can. And if you find, you know, I'm not bearing with my brothers and sisters, and I'm not being forgiving, and I'm complaining an awful lot. Quite frankly, my heart has just grown cold. Well, there's something you can do about that, Christian. Okay? What can you do? Well, verses 15, 16, and 17 tell you what you can do that gives you the elements. Like I said, it's work. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you effort. Humility does not come cheap, and it doesn't come free. And in fact, it's only possible in the power of Jesus Christ to practice what you're about to read here. Look at verse 15. It says, first of all, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called, in one body, and be thankful. So number one, allow the peace of God to rule. Allow God's peace to rule. Let the peace of God rule, or control. Let it control your heart. This is your ignition, okay? When you allow the peace of God to rule, it's the igniter. Because we're talking about Christ's peace, and Christ said, "Peace I give you," not the world's peace. See, the world's peace says that you can be content when everything in your life is going the way you want it to go. When things on the outside are going well, okay, then things on the inside will be peaceful. That's the world's peace. I ask you, how often is everything going well on the outside? You get spurts of it, it doesn't last long. You think you're in control. You're not in control of anything. Things change like that on you. That's why Christ said, I offer you a different peace. His peace, because of salvation, his peace comes from the inside and gives you a sense of contentment and even joy, regardless of what's going on the outside. It doesn't mean you're always happy with things that are going on in your life, but it means you're content in your Savior and you have joy anyway, even as you shed tears and get through some of those dark valleys. So if the world's peace is like a lighter to your heart, then Christ's peace is like a flamethrower, folks. There's no comparison. And he said there in verse 14 to let this peace rule in your hearts. You know what that word rule means? It's where we get the word umpire. You may not like the umpire. Or he may be your best friend, but the truth is what the umpire says goes, right? He's the ruler when he calls the shot. And what God's telling you is this peace of Jesus Christ from the inside has got to call the shots. If you don't allow Christ's peace to call the shots, then you're going to call them. Have you proved to yourself yet? You can make really bad decisions and make poor decisions and call shots poorly. But the peace of Christ, man, that's an umpire to follow. That's an umpire to listen to. In fact, he even says you were called to this in verse 15. You were called in one body. We just saw three young men join this body of believers. Of course, any believer anywhere is part of the universal body of Jesus Christ and will be forever. You were called to that body. And he adds to that, be thankful. You notice how many times in the New Testament gratitude goes along with peace. They go together. Okay? If you're going to have peace, you got to be thankful. If you're thankful, you're going to have peace. We're a very thankless society. People are not thankful. You get what you want, and then you want something else. And you have all this, but you complain because you don't have any of that. And gripe, complain, complain, gripe. And we're not thankful by nature, but in Jesus Christ, you have a new nature, and you can be thankful. I mentioned a while back how Corey Ten Boom, who served in a Nazi concentration camp, survived a Nazi concentration camp. And she and the other women reached the point where they were thankful for their fleas. Because as long as they had fleas, the Nazi prison guards left them alone. They were thankful to God for those fleas. Kept the guards away. Pastor Dave Little, in his presentation yesterday, said he reached a point. And he's a young man. He got thankful for his acne. How many of you teenagers have ever been thankful for your acne? See, we want to be thankful for the things that make me feel good. But we forget. When God puts something in your life, you can be thankful for something that does you good, even if it's not pleasurable. And God does things in your life that don't bring joy and pleasure. At least they don't bring that feeling of goodness. Boy, they're sure good for you. That's why God allowed it. That's why God maybe even caused it. Thankfulness. You get thankful, the peace of Christ will start to rule your heart and call the shots that you need to follow. Verse 16, he gives you the fuel. When he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So first, you got to allow the peace of God to rule. But secondly, let the word of Christ, or allow the word of Christ to dwell. Okay, let the word of Christ dwell in you. This is the fuel. You know, when talking to somebody who is spiritually struggling, just having a hard time, and one of the questions I always ask first is, how are you doing in the Word of God? This is Jesus Christ's Word. This is His Word. From the very first word of Genesis to the very last word of the book of Revelation, this is Christ, okay? And I will always ask, how are you doing in the Word of God? Because if you're not in the Word of God, it's like trying to coax a fire without any oxygen. It just won't fuel. It just won't take off. It won't flame. Even though you throw sparks at it, it doesn't ignite. Why? There's no fuel, okay? The Word of God constantly has to be the fuel for your warm heart. If it isn't, you're going to turn to something else besides the Word of God. It amazes me how often even we as Christians start turning to other sources for our guidance and our directions. In the 1990s and early 2000s, it was amazing how many even Christian women paid really close attention to what Oprah said. And in the late 90s, it was Dr. Phil. Whatever Dr. Phil says must be right. Folks, this is your fuel for a warm heart. This is your source. Man's ideas, man's philosophies, they come, they go, they burn up in the end, and they just don't last. The Word of God endureth forever, says the Scriptures. It just goes on and on and on and on. In fact, this is a great fuel box. This is a great tinder box because you run out of fuel. Sooner or later, you gotta replenish your fuel oil tank, or you gotta fill the hopper with more coal. If you're out camping, you gotta keep working at bringing in firewood. You gotta get the right kind of wood, because if it's been there too long, it's rotted and it won't burn. And if it hadn't been laying around long enough, it's green and it won't burn. And so you gotta constantly work to keep the fuel going, and your fuel always runs out. My dad taught me early on in camping, when you collect firewood, collect twice as much as you think you're gonna need. You'll probably have half enough. And it's so true, man. A fire just is hungry and it consumes that stuff. Folks, this is a fuel box that never runs dry. Every time you open the Word of God, there is fuel for the fire. Fuel for the fire every single time. It amazes me. Still, I've been saved since 1984. I've been preaching the Word for 23 years, 24 years, something like that. And I get into God's Scriptures and learn something that I didn't know every week. Every week. It amazes me. I've read this passage a million times. I've even preached this passage a million times, I'll think to myself, and yet I never saw that. Well, it was always there. It's just an endless supply of fuel. The more I get into God's Word, I find the warmer my heart grows. Burns hot, in fact. You know, if you're going to burn wood, like I said, it has to be seasoned properly, okay? Well, this says let the Word of God dwell richly. You know, sometimes the Word is dwelling, but not richly. It just sits, smoldering, kind of like a wet log. Folks, that's not the Word's fault. You're not fanning it into flame, okay? If you're not spending time studying God's Word and living God's Word as a way of life, you're going to just start to smolder. And the Word is not going to be active in you, although it could be. So many Christians are tempted to just give up. Oh, I've been reading the Bible for 20-some-odd years. I'm not going to learn anything new. You're going to start smoldering at that point. If you really think you're not going to learn anything new, I knew of a pastor, Dr. Bob Domikos told us about this pastor he knew, a friend of his. And this was back in the 70s when a lot of pastors were jumping churches every so often. They weren't sticking around too long. And he said he knew one pastor. He said, I guess he only preached one, they didn't have Sunday evening services evidently. He only preached one sermon a week. He said, I have 52 sermons. I preach them all twice in 2 years, and then I move on. And Dr. Bob said, what happened? I said, you can only get 52 sermons out of this? You only get one year's worth of sermons out of the Word of God? Folks, if the Lord allows me to preach another 30 years, I'll barely scratch the surface of this fuel box. There is so much here, and there's always something for you. And as soon as you turn from the Word and you turn to something else for your happiness, you turn to some philosophy, you turn to the internet for your info. So you start doing that, you're going to cool off. You're going to start to smolder, and your heart is going to show it. Why? Because the Word of God's not dwelling richly. When it dwells richly, man, it is fired up. It's on fire. He says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is godly wisdom, not human wisdom. And you know there's a huge difference, right? Yeah. The world's wisdom thinks that God's wisdom is foolish. That's okay, because the reverse is also true. The scripture facetiously uses a phrase that discusses the foolishness, quote, the foolishness of God. It's so much better than the wisdom of man. Right. And you have access to the wisdom of God. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. Well, back up to letting the word of Christ dwell. How do you let it dwell? When you let it do something in you. When you are busy not just holding the word, but exhorting the word, living it, speaking it. That's how you teach and admonish. So we're talking about not just your actions, but your words also. That's how you let the word of God dwell in you. Not just by what you do, but also by what you say. And let what you do and what you say line up. Teaching and admonishing one another. Those are good words. That's right, we teach and admonish one another. To teach, to exhort truth from the Word of God to somebody else. To admonish, sometimes that means correcting somebody. Just by simply saying, you're going the wrong way. Look at the Word of God. It says to go that way instead of that way. Okay? That's how you admonish one another. And also, it says, we do so with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is why we ought to be thankful, Lord, to the Lord, that we not only come to dive into the Word by way of preaching and teaching and studying, but do you know we come to church also to dive into God's Word by way of singing? That's why we really try hard to sing songs, be they classic hymns from yesteryear or be they modern hymns, either way, that they be biblical hymns from the Word. That's really important, to sing God's truth, because it's how we teach each other. And you say, well, I don't sing well. You know what? I don't either. This is why I don't like leading music, because I'm a baritone and I can't sing the high notes, and most of our hymns are written way out of my range. And so that's why you notice I get real quiet when we get high. I'm not going to crack my voice way up here like that. I'm not going to do that. So I just get real quiet. I sing the low notes, and I'm not a good baritone, okay? I don't sing well. But I tell you, when it's God's truth, man, it's a joy to sing. He is fired up and singing out. And you know, when you're in a church building like this, let me lay you in on a little secret. Nobody's hearing you. Okay? I've never thought up here, I thought, man, Naomi, you really hit the wrong note on that one. Yeah? First of all, she doesn't hit wrong notes, in my opinion. I don't think she ever has. But I can't hear just her, okay? I can't hear just Debbie or Kevin, okay? Kevin would be cracking all over the place. I'm not going to know, and neither will you, okay? But when you sing to the Lord, I'm telling you what, it fires up your heart. You say, I don't feel like singing. Don't wait for your feelings to determine what you're going to do. If you do that, you're going to have a cold heart when it's all said and done. You base your actions on the Word of God, not on how you feel. So choose to sing. And after a while, you might find, you know what? I am wanting to sing. I am enjoying this. And I'm liking some of these classic hymns that I didn't think I'd like. Some real richness in this. Or I'm liking some of these modern hymns. You know, we sing a lot of songs by a modern-day hymn writer. His last name is Getty. Boy, he's a theologian and a musician. And it comes out in his music. You know, Fanny Crosby was a theologian, she was a musician. And there were so many that have left us songs to sing. And of course, now we live in a day and age when we have cheap music. When Paul wrote this to the church in Colossae, They didn't have projectors and hymnals and sheet music. They had to learn the songs the good old-fashioned way, by memory. Yeah, they listened to somebody who knew how the song went, and then they picked it up. And that's how they did it back then. But they did it, and we can do that as well. It's such a positive thing to be able to sing the truth of God and to teach others around you based on what God has taught you from his word. And then in verse 17, so we've got ignition, we got fuel, you got something to burn, you got oxygen as well here in verse 17. It says, whatever you do, in word or deed, there it is again, your words and your deeds need to line up, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Number three, you want a warm heart? Allow the Lord Jesus to govern, okay? Let the Lord Jesus govern your heart. Starting fires can be fun when they work. When you start blowing some oxygen on there and the fuel starts to ignite and it starts to take off on its own, you don't have to keep the lighter lit anymore. Well, it's the same thing with your heart, folks. When Christ oversees all your actions, you're going to get on fire when he's governing. See, the problem is we let other things govern. What sorts of things are governing your heart? Quite often it's passions, emotions, desires, even good desires. You can desire something good, but then when that something controls you, then Christ isn't. He's not governing anymore. Your desires are. And it gets even worse when they're evil desires. And another problem we get into, see, we get this backwards. We want to get on fire for the Lord first, and then we'll start doing things in his name. You got it backwards, okay? First, you got to start doing things in his name, then you watch yourself get on fire for the Lord. Stop waiting for your feelings to determine what you're going to do, because when you let your feelings determine your actions always go downhill. You let the word of God, you let Jesus Christ govern your heart, you let him govern your actions, positive feelings will catch up. I haven't seen the exception. I really haven't. Okay. And I have to practice this too. What did Pastor Dave reveal in our marriage seminar, folks? In his life, something that the thorn that God put in his flesh, he has to fight depression. I can relate to that. I talked to Pastor Steve Lilly. He says, yeah, I'm not like my brother. I can't relate to getting down. I think I got down once, you know. I can't relate to that at all. I don't understand that. I know what it's like to get down. Okay? However, I can tell you from experience, when you choose to obey the Lord and let Jesus govern your actions regardless of how you feel, you tend not to stay down. You get up again. You make it knock down again, but you just keep following the Lord. When you let your feelings determine or anything else determine what you're going to do, you do stay down, and it gets worse from there. It really does. So watch your deeds and your words. He says here, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or in deed. You got to watch your words. And notice, folks, it's not only what you say, but how you say it will determine whether your heart's cold or not. Friends, let me give you a phrase here. I'm going to say the same thing two different ways, okay? For every person who stands against you, there are at least 10 who will stand with you. Is that encouraging? If someone stands against you, keep in mind, it's going to be 10 people who stand with you. Right? Now let me tell you the same thing a different way. You know, for every 10 people who stand with you, you'll find at least somebody who stands against you. Now, I didn't say anything different. I gave the exact same facts. But one's like, I can't win. And the other's like, I'm going to win. Okay? So you got to watch how you say the things you say. Especially if you're confronting. Think about how this is going to come across. Say it to yourself first. Say it to somebody else first. Say, hey, I got to go talk to somebody. Here's what I'd like to say. How does this sound? This is really important in sensitive situations. Okay? But when your heart is warm, You'll say things. You won't only say the right things. You'll say them the right way. You will. And did you notice again in verse 17, he mentions it again. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is through Jesus Christ. There it is again. Gratitude. Folks, there is a lot to be thankful to God for. In fact, there's a lot to be thankful for each other. When was the last time you thanked God for somebody? Maybe it hadn't been all that long ago. Instead of looking at what you think people are supposed to be doing, look at what they are doing, and you might find yourself thanking God for them. It's really hard to criticize a person who you're thanking the Lord for. It's really hard to do that. And with some of us, you're going to have to look a little harder to find something to be thankful for. I get that. Some of us make it hard for you to thank God for it, but find something. Okay? And emphasize what God has done instead of what you think people ought to be doing. You know, during the building of the Alaska pipeline, this was from 1974 to 77, and they didn't stop just because it got cold and winter came. They didn't stop. They had to get that pipeline done. It just went from north to south across Alaska. You know what the workers discovered? They discovered it was really hard to start their engines and heavy equipment in the dead of winter when it gets to 40 below. They just couldn't. And this is the 70s. Engineering it's come a long way since then. I mean, now we all go out, it could be 20 below, and we expect our cars to start, right? But a whole lot of you remember when that was not the case. 40 below? They cannot, man, those things would gel up. They could not get them to start for anything. It was hard. So you know what they did when it got that cold? They left the engines running when they turned in for the day. They broke the rule of filling the gas tank while the engine was still running, and they just let the heavy equipment and the work trucks, they filled them with gas before they went to bed, left those things running, and ran all night long because they discovered very quickly, once the engine gets warmed up, it's a lot easier to keep it warm. See, once you allow God to warm your heart, once you make the choice and start allowing God's peace to rule and Christ's word to dwell and Christ to govern your heart. And once you're doing this and you're on a roll, it's a whole lot easier to keep it that way than to grow cold and then start all over again. Every time someone offends you, you are given opportunity to reach out or push them away. One's cold, one is warm. If you draw from the old nature and lash out, well, you push people away. If you allow the peace of God to rule and the word of Christ to dwell and the Lord Jesus to govern, you'll reach out and go forward. And if you keep that up each time, your heart will never grow cold, Christian. And let me stress again, you can't have this kind of heart, one that glorifies God unto eternity, unless you know Jesus Christ your Savior. You can trust him right now where you sit. Either right now, say, I'm going to stop trusting in myself to get to God. I'm going to stop trusting in any other thing but Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust in him and him alone. You do that, Scripture says that, you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You'll walk out of here a different person than you came in. If you already know the Lord Jesus Christ and it's been a season of cold-heartedness, hey, you can walk out of here a different person than you came in just by firing it up, doing what Scripture says. That's godly, that's Christ-like. That's how you crank it up. Father, we just thank you again for Jesus Christ and his love for us. Thank you, God, for loving the world with a warm heart that you gave your only begotten Son for us. I pray again for these three young men. May they find joy in following after you, and may we be a blessing to them to help them grow in hearts that chase after you, stand fast, stand tough, and obey you all the days of their life. And Father, for those who maybe you're here today and they've never really put their trust in Christ, may this be a day of salvation for that man, for that woman, for that child. For those of us who know you, Lord, help us to keep the engines running, not by our strength, but by yours. In Jesus' name, amen.